Welcome to Inside the Mortgage Mind, a Zenix podcast. At Zenix, our mission is to transform the mortgage industry through a commitment to excellence. On this podcast, we'll hear stories from professionals throughout the industry, from new LOs to CEOs, about their journey to achieving success. We hope you're inspired and energized by what you hear to take your business to the next level.
Hello, Dave Stevens, Casey Cunningham. How are you today?
I'm great, Casey. How are you?
I am outstanding. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us. And as we're excited to have a few minutes listening to your thoughts as you're about to leave a legacy to the MBA. And we so appreciate your time. So let's just jump right in. See, how long have you been in the industry itself, Dave?
Well, I started as a loan originator back in 1983, so just a little while.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you have seen the industry change over the years in your career. How have you seen it change? And over your time with the MBA, what kind of changes have you seen?
Well, you know, obviously, it's been a dramatic shifting, as with most industries. When I started, there was literally no automation of our business. There was no cell phone. There were really no computers per se. Processed everything on MLCS. I made calls on real estate offices the old-fashioned way, just driving to them. And I brought a stack of quarters with me so I could make calls from cell phones. So, you know, I would describe that as an industry with a lot of friction. The MLS was the only way realtors found out what was on the market was they got a new book each week from the multiple listing service, and it really added value to their need to be members of the realtors. But the only way they found out about mortgage products and programs and services was through direct contact with a loan officer. For me, as a young salesperson, I couldn't have asked for a better environment. But, you know, you think of where we are today and what we've gone through over the decades after I started, the growth of the secondary market, Fannie and Freddie's dominance of the market over what was previously portfolio lending, the introduction of loan prospector and desktop underwriter, the introduction of FICO scores in the mid-1990s, really not that old. And then ultimately, a massive growth industry fueled by almost reckless endangerment by capital coming from Wall Street, building the subprime market, and then the big explosion in 2008 that led to the biggest recession we've ever had. And then since then, our new regulatory environment, and what I would describe right now is a massive transitional reformation of the mortgage industry built on technology and the need to sell products in a purchase market versus a refi market. So very dynamic period we're in now, and one where I've seen it from literally all sides.
So interesting, Dave, because you were sort of dating yourself, but it almost dated me as well, because I remember the quarters, the no computers, no cell phones. So
there you go.
And I remember the big moment when Loan Prospector came out and automated underwriting and how big a deal it was going to shift the needs that we would all have. So as you've seen this massive growth, where do you see the future of the industry? Because goodness, there's a lot going on the horizon, and technology seems to be a big play, which you mentioned, but where do you think it's going to take it?
Yeah, you know, as one who started, you know, in the period that I just discussed and ended up running, you know, almost all of lending for a large lender, savings and loan in this country, and then going to Freddie Mac, where I went afterwards and I ran the single family business at Freddie. You know, one thing I would just say is that while we're going through a revolution, it's a very slow one compared to most other industries. We haven't been Ubered yet, or Amazoned, as it were, the way those businesses have affected taxis and commercial retail. And I think we're about to go through that shift now. The thing that made our industry, I think, more successful as loan originators was what I would just describe as friction. There was a lot of requirements to have human intervention. And in that kind of context, the person with the best selling skills and personality and work ethic could win out. But this is rapidly becoming a commoditized industry. And I think we're on the edge of a fairly significant transformation into what's going to become a much more digitally controlled industry. I know a lot of people think we're there now. I think we're far from it. I think the consumer of tomorrow, our kids, and even their kids, are going to become wholly dependent on technology to make financial product decisions. And the role of needing a loan rep, where the real estate agent only feels comfortable handing off that consumer to a trusted partner, is going to be something that really requires a unique ability to add value, because beyond that, a 30-year fixed rate loan is points and fees and speed. And if you can deliver that on a technology platform, you're going to have to really question about your business model. And particularly for LOs today, how do you differentiate yourself in that kind of market where you could easily become persona non needed in a future state, unless you're providing some value that otherwise can't be had?
Yeah, it's quite easy today to do a comparison between lenders and rates and fees, et cetera. And I couldn't agree with you more. That value prop that you offer to a customer has got to be compelling, and you have to be an expert at a whole different level. So what do you think the biggest obstacles will be facing our industry right now? Obviously, there's a lot of shrinking margins going on. We've heard the first quarter of this year, the challenges, but what do you think the biggest ones are?
Yeah, I mean, we've got two challenges. One, we've got a supply problem. We have excess supply of lenders and loan officers, and not enough demand for mortgages. And that's creating the contraction that we're dealing with today. And companies are dealing with it in different ways. Some are laying off or selling. Some are deciding to take on more risk, which I think has other concerns from me personally, but entering into products that we haven't seen in quite some time, or delving down the credit curve and the FHA programs and elsewhere. And then others are really focusing on developing themselves as experts in the purchase market. But the obstacles are huge, because we're going through a right-sizing period. I've been through several, and we do get through them, by the way, Casey, and you know this. I mean, I reflect back always on 2003, the biggest mortgage year in American history. $3.9 trillion of mortgages were originated, and we shrunk down to the levels of the last several years at, you know, $1.4 trillion, you know, more than half of what it was at its peak, and there was a lot of money being made. So we do right size, and people may not realize that the transition to get there is tough, and we're seeing that in everybody fighting for every loan they can. And quite frankly, I think there's a lot of loan officers who could do just fine in a refi market. Surviving in a purchase market is going to be an entirely different problem. And for lenders, you know, their overhead was built up in a period of excessive regulation, but also a lot of volume to offset that cost to be compliant. They're now going to have to figure out how to streamline the back office while focusing on productivity on the front office. So we're going to get through it. And I'm actually very bullish about what happens over 2 years out from now. But right now, it's tough, and it's going to take that unique individual, particularly, you know, for the people who listen to this probably on the production side. It's going to take that set of skills that others don't have so that you can get that purchase transaction when others may not be able to.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Right now, it is interesting. There is a short-term, I'm going to call it memory loss for some, not realizing that this right-sizing, it's not the first time, and it won't be the last for our industry.
Right.
And I've been in it since 84, so I've seen quite a few right-sizing, and have been blessed to have survived that and to have thrived as a result of it, because you only get better in these challenging times, as it really causes you to look at your business pragmatically and say, I think a good example is one of our advisory board members said, we're cutting all luxury expenses. And I think everybody's looking at every dollar and, of course, chasing every loan.
Yeah.
So what's your view right now? I mean, there's been a constant conversation about rookies and the aging sales force. What's your view of bringing in rookies into our industry?
Well, you know, I'm guessing, and you and I know each other pretty well, but not that well, but I'm guessing we share a common view that, you know, there's a challenge with those who get, let's just call it lazy in their business. And when you go through a long extended refinance season, which happened for many years these past years, the skills needed to be successful as a refi loan rep are entirely different than they are to be a proactive purchase loan officer. And when I was building my businesses and I was building loan offices around the country during a massive growth phase in the 80s, and my wife and I moved 10 times in 11 years, opening up loan centers around the country, I hired from scratch. I actually had a preference to not hire the seasoned loan rep. No offense to those who are there. I became one. But I just, in a changing market in that time, in that period, we were changing really from fixed rate mortgages to adjustable rate mortgages, which was a big challenge. All I would say is that, you know, I like fresh attitude, eager work ethic, and the ability to learn and the desire to learn new skills to be effective in this industry. And sometimes what I would just call the prima donna effect becomes a challenge. And, you know, those are harsh words. I think there's a mixture here. But, you know, when I look at a resume of a very successful loan rep, or I talk to member lenders of my association, they say, what would you look for? I would just deduct out their refinance business and assume that's a zero, and then look at them as a purchase originator just to see how I think they might perform. But if you get young, fresh, professional talent, put them through a program like you guys offer. This isn't a paid sales pitch for Zinnix, but I've been a follower of yours for many years and used it in my previous company. You know, I think you can get talent and bring them up to speed with a type of eagerness and professionalism that may not exist broadly just simply by going out and recruiting existing branches in the marketplace.
Well, as you know, Dave, I'm pretty bullish on it, as I have a program that is designed specifically for rookies. But I couldn't agree with you more. And I got to say, you know, some of the things that you just mentioned, the energy that a rookie brings will help freshen our industry as well. And if I could convince, and maybe you can help in that regard, it's not an all or nothing approach. If you just bring a percentage of your sales force in every year as rookies, you have over time have built your army from scratch.
Absolutely.
So, what's the greatest focus for the MBA right now in leading our industry?
Well, you know, I worry about our industry because we're tired. We've been through a lot of change, and a lot of it was very difficult, particularly following the financial crisis and the introduction of all the rules that came out of Dodd-Frank and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I just caution everybody that we have some of our biggest fights ahead. You know, this administration has said they're going to deal with the GSEs, and what they've proposed in their recent release paper would actually shrink the role that Fannie and Freddie play and could affect things like cash out refinances or high cost loan limits. It could raise G fees to try to crowd in private capital. And all of these sound good, but my own view about pulling away supports for the industry is you better have another leg to hold up that stool if you're going to remove one. And that discussion really needs to happen. I spent a lot of time with the Trump team, both in the Treasury Department and the White House. And I spoke to someone in one of those bodies today. And the point I keep making to them is that we are a strong, well-organized, powerful voice that votes, and we employ hundreds of thousands of workers across this country. So what I would say about the MBA, you know, I think the priorities are, and what I'm going to convey to Bob before he takes over, Bob Brooksman, who's taken over my job, and what I'll continue to advocate for when I'm on the outside doing the things I'm going to do next, is that, you know, you need to be a loud, powerful voice. You can't let up that focus. And if our industry splits itself up into a bunch of little groups like it was headed once before, then they just argue amongst ourselves and they do nothing to really effectively change policy in DC. So we have some major fights there. Mel Watt leaves the FHFA. He's the one who's been essentially protecting the role that Fannie and Freddie provide with very little disruption. That could change. And changes at the Bureau will be interesting because, you know, what if it gets too loose? Do we really want that? Do we want to bring back a lack of oversight on the kinds of products that got us to the point where we had to compete to stay alive, doing things in some cases that we didn't necessarily think was right as an industry? And so we have some major challenges ahead, not to mention are also include fixing some of the rules that were put in place by the previous CFPB regime to make them more evenly applied across the industry going forward.
So Bob's inheriting an opportunity to hopefully preserve our industry and continue to accelerate it. Is there anything else right now besides working directly with the White House on our industry that the MBA is focused on?
Well, we've got a variety of other focus points, and I won't go down the long list of them, but we got a huge technology initiative. We've had technology leaders coming in. We've had an e-signature group meeting in DC that met with the regulators as an example of trying to pave the way for technology advances that could take shape to help ease the burden on consumers when they're going through the origination process. We're working with Brian Montgomery at HUD now, and I've spoken to Brian a couple times since he's moved into the job as the FHA commissioner. But, you know, we've got to deal with the False Claims Act and bring more clarity to the policies there. We need to think about the new industry of the future. And to the point you made about hiring rookies, it's not just hiring rookies. We need rookies who look like the borrowers we're going to be lending to. And that's going to be, you know, this is one that defies deniability. It's just pure demographic. 2/3 of all new home buyers are going to be minority, and we need diversity in our workforce. And that's a whole nother area of recruiting and training that needs focus. So MBA can play a lot of roles here, and they're focused on all of these, you know, just on the diversity front. And Casey, I assume you've seen our Empower efforts that Marcia Davies has been leading, but we get literally hundreds upon hundreds of women coming to our Empower events out of something that didn't exist before. So this, we have a lot of opportunity to change the dynamics about how we operate, think about how we're going to look going forward, streamline technology and work on regulators to make sure they adopt rules that allow for that, and then try to fix the programs like FHA so that we feel more comfortable lending in them. I mean, that's just a few examples of what is a very long list of things that the MBA is focused on.
Well, listen, in your time at the MBA, I think it warrants me ending this with a question that I feel everybody wants answered. But we want to hear it from you because you've done so much for the MBA and you're definitely leaving a legacy. And what do you consider your greatest accomplishments as you have served us so well as the president?
Well, look, I came into the role with a lot of energy, and people who have worked with me know how I work. But I surround myself with a team that compensates for my weaknesses. And allowed me to think about driving the association and our industry towards strategic growth efforts to make our voice more powerful. And, you know, when I joined the association, we were essentially a bankrupt organization. We had no money in the bank. We had debts for a building we tried to build and an underfunded pension and a whole lot of things that were pretty shocking when I walked in the door. I didn't even think I could make payroll in my third or fourth month with the MBA. And I leave the MBA today with more money than it's ever had in its history, which will allow us to fight the greatest war ever, with huge influence inside the White House. We've been in both, you know, two different administrations and had extraordinary influence, and as well as on the Hill, where people are writing bills based on how we give them draft text language to work on. But I'll say more than anything else, I think it was helping to bring the industry together. When I first joined, independent mortgage bankers thought the MBA only aligned with big banks. I'll tell you, the big banks only thought we aligned with independent mortgage bankers, which tells you that whatever MBA was doing, I think they were sort of standing on the, it was like standing on the yellow lines in a busy highway with the cars whizzing by you on both sides and afraid to make a move either way. We've really fought for a level playing field, for equal rules that apply to any lender, regardless of business model. That's really helped unify us, and we've increased our membership growth dramatically by hundreds of lenders who have come in, a lot of IMBs, credit unions, community banks that have joined our ranks over the last 7 years since I've been here and really helped propel us to be the voice we are. And as you know, Casey, and I know you're an example of it, leadership requires not only a vision and direction, it requires passion and the ability to execute. And I think we did a lot of that over the last 7 years. I'm very happy that I'm leaving in the MBA at its strongest point in its history of over 100 years. And we've got a guy like Bob who can come in and take this roaring engine and hopefully keep that voice going strong for many years to come.
Well, I know that there was quite a due diligence process to select Bob so that he can continue on your legacy and continue to help our industry grow and thrive. And hearing what you have done, I can be the first to represent the industry and say thank you, knowing that I have firsthand witnessed it come together as a result of your leadership. So let me truly say a big thank you on behalf of everyone.
Thanks, Casey. That's great. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check back next week for a new episode of Inside the Mortgage Mind, a podcast from Zenix, the Mortgage Academy.